Welcome, my friends, to the Generations Radio Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host with you. Steve Vaughn also with me today as we bring a biblical worldview perspective to, well, fake news and fake science news and fake business news. You know, there's a lot of fake news around these days, Steve.
Really? I thought we were supposed to believe everything we saw on TV, especially with Fox.
Well, I don't think people have the ability to moderate dogmatism or determine the truth value of any particular statement these days. In other words, there are some statements where we say, okay, yeah, 99.999% probability, you jump off that tower, you will fall to the ground, go splat. There are things that are at 99.9999%, then there are things that are more at, you know, 1.4%, but all of them given equal weight on the front page of CNN.com and FoxNews.com at points as well. Fake news, fake business news everywhere, my friends, and fake science as well. I deal with fake science, the rise and fall of Western science in my new book, Epoch, The Rise and Fall of the Western World. That's available now at generations.org, my friends. But fake computer modeling has taken over these days, much like astrology did during the humanist renaissance. Between the Christian revolutions in science that occurred in the 1300s, and then again 1600s and the 1800s, all Christians, by the way. It was always the Christians who brought about real science, but in the midst of it, there was fake science, and it was the humanist renaissance that brought astrology back, as well as alchemy. But ultimately, it was the humanists that were fighting very hard to bring in fake science. They always do. And they're bringing it back today as well. After the Christian science revolutions brought about by guys like Isaac Newton and Faraday and the guys who were doing the work in the 1300s prior to the Renaissance. But then you get the humanists that jump on and say, hey, I've got my stuff. Let's bring astrology back. Let's bring computer modeling back. And they try to foretell the future when it comes to environmentalism and economics on the basis of fake computer models that try to predict the future, much like astrology did back in the humanist Renaissance days. And I'm getting a little tired of this computer modeling that is forecasting the future in terms of economics, in terms of environmentalism. Friends, this is fake news. It's just fake science. It's fake economics. And it's time for somebody just to step up and say, I'm tired of faking the science. I'm tired of faking the news. And I'm also tired of the rah-rah economics. We've got a bad economic situation in America. All that's left is rah-rah. It's the rah-rah from Fox Business, CNBC. It's almost nothing but rah-rah these days as I revisit the sites and trying to update what's going on. Like, U.S. unemployment is better than ever. We're going to have the best year of the century in 2021 because Biden has poured $10 trillion into the economy of quantitative easing. So this is going to solve all of America's problems in terms of the destruction of our economy. Because Biden poured $10 trillion into the economy, Fox Business is saying the same thing as CNBC. It's just rah-rah economics. Do you ever get the impression you're being overhyped, Steve?
Yeah, pretty much all the time. It's interesting that even, you know, I like to look at Babylon Bee headlines, and it says Biden to solve poverty with $1 trillion an hour minimum wage. And, you know, that's the Babylon Bee headline exactly. That just came up. And that's exactly what it is. It's exactly what you're talking about. It's just, yeah, all right, we're gonna solve everything right here with all of this. And it's just crazy because computer modeling is only as good as the person that's inputting the data and writing the program. And you can come up with whatever you want based upon what you put in. It's just crazy.
Well, best year in 100 years, and we're coming out of the worst year in 100 years of American economic history, and the worst year in 300 years of economic history in the UK. This has been the 2020 year, COVID year, economically worst year since the Great Freeze of 1709 in the UK. Worst year in 300 years of economic prosperity in the UK. And now we're all hyped to believe that somehow this is going to be the best year ever in the history of mankind when it comes to our economy. I don't think so, my friends. Now, I noticed some of this has crept into the Worldview in 5 Minutes this week as well. It's one reason why I'm a bit concerned. The Worldview in 5 Minutes is something we produce. But, you know, everybody gets so caught up in the economic hype and the Emperor's New Clothes maker propaganda campaign in full force. Well, we're done with this fake business news, my friends. We're just done with it. We're going to give you the real numbers in just a moment on the Generations Broadcast.
Attention homeschool parents. Here at Generations, we know that finding literature curriculum that engages your children's minds and helps them develop a strong Christian worldview can be an overwhelming task. That's why we've developed a Christian discipleship-focused literature curriculum that's centered around the most important work of literature ever written, the Word of God. Not only do our Bible-centric courses seek to place Christ at the head of literature studies, but they will also teach your children how to analyze all literature from a Christian perspective, enabling them to be more than conquerors in today's battle of worldviews. By introducing them to the essential stories of the faith, along with the written works of history's best Christian authors, our literature curriculum provides the bedrock for a firm foundation of faith in the hearts of your children. So, get started today with Generations Christian Discipleship Curriculum and watch your children embark on an incredible journey towards strengthening their faith and discovering the greatest Christian stories ever told. You can learn more and browse our selection of carefully curated works at generations.org/curriculum. That's generations.org/curriculum.
And we are back on the Generations broadcast. Kevin Swanson with you, also Steve Vaughn. And today, I'm just done with this rah-rah economics, Steve. Just this rah-rah stuff, I'm just not on board with it. I realize that's all part of the gig, that the only way to improve the economy is probably to get everybody all rah-rahed up, get consumers spending money like it's going out of style, and getting businesses to spend a lot of money, invest in a lot of debt, and then try to hire more people. So I get that, yeah, it's just trying to, you know, just get it all excited, and so somehow maybe the excitement will yield a better economic result. So, you know, I get that. But the bottom line is the metrics are worse than they've ever been in the history of this country. Unemployment numbers are faked all the time. That's one of the issues, is they're trying to hinge the entire economy on unemployment numbers, but those are incredibly difficult to identify. They're saying it's down to 6%. Unemployment's down to 6%, still about double what it was a year ago. But the Federal Reserve Chairman came out just last week and says it's actually 9.5%. It's actually 9.5%, up from 3.5% a year ago. That's the metric he uses. He says 9.5%. It's not 6%. It's 9.5%. And other sources indicate that the unemployment ratio, including those who are only part-time employed, might be as high as 26%. So nobody really knows what the unemployment ratio is. And they're all saying, hey, you know, we're making a lot of progress down to 6%. But not so as far as the Federal Reserve Chairman is concerned. And there are other sources that indicate that unemployment may be as high as 26% still.
Wow. Yeah, I think a lot of it has to do with, you know, like what you said, is what metric are they using? Are they trying to find out how many people don't have a job or how many people have actually filed a jobless claim? Because those numbers are vastly different. Are they counting the people who are underemployed rather than unemployed? Sometimes those numbers get thrown in there too. And so we've got to know what they're measuring before we know what the numbers actually mean. So that's a huge aspect of all of this.
Another index that's really important is the labor force participation rate, which is really the employment of an index. The labor force participation rate is at a historical low of 61.5%, down from 67.4% hit in 2000. So that is those that want to be employed. They may not be employed, but they want to be employed. They're seeking employment. That's the labor force participation rate. It's at an all-time low, 61.5%, down from 67.4% in 2000. That's the worst it's been in 50 years since women were shoved into the labor force in the 1970s. You know, they're latchkeying the kids, and some 64% of them rushed into the labor market. So even women can't compensate for the breakdown now. The women tried their best to kind of keep the economy going by leaving their kids at home. Here's the key, you know, go sit in front of the television set, get yourself some ding-dongs, some Twinkies, enjoy your lunch, and, you know, sit watching TV for the next 6 hours. Mom will be back at 8. And so all of that worldview has shifted the entire socioeconomic situation in America, destroying the character of the nation, of course. But at the same time, the women joining the workforce in the 1970s did not help us. Now we're down to 61.5%. That's exactly where we were before the women showed up in the workforce in the 1970s. So even the women in the workforce can't compensate for the breakdown by now. The inflation rate also, as measured by the used vehicle value index, we've talked about this on another program. What is it? Wood prices up 180%, food prices up 60%, at least the raw food prices up 60%. Inflation rate for the used vehicle value index, which is one of the most accurate measurements of inflation in America, increased, get this, 30% last year, Steve.
Wow.
Inflation rate went up 30% last year. You know, hey, I thought that increasing, you know, the money supply by $10 trillion was going to make us all rich. I mean, what happened? Paying Peter and Paul and such until there was nothing money could buy. And the gods of the copybook heading said, if you don't work, you die. So that kind of thing happened in the 2020 crisis. You know, government steps in here. Let me fix this problem for you. And we wind up with a 30% index on inflation. By the way, they're still telling us it's 2 to 3%, despite the fact I'm paying a 180% increase on wood, I'm 30% increase on vehicles, I'm 60% increase on food, and they're still telling me it's 2%. So, you know, again, the economic rah-rah stuff, all of the false business news is overwhelming at this point. And by the way, the used vehicle value index increased 8% over the previous 10 years. All right? So the used vehicle value index in America increased 8% over the previous 10 years. Last year, it increased by 30%. So what does that tell you? Sounds to me like inflation.
Yeah.
Smells like, tastes like, sounds like. What is this thing?
Yeah.
I think it might be inflation.
It's a duck.
It's an inflating duck.
That's right. Oh, man. Yeah, we debated economics last year in speech and debate. And I remember after studying one aspect of this, you know, with Ginnie Mae and Freddie Mac and all of those, one of my students went, man, we are just messed up. And I said, yes, we are. Welcome to economics in America. Hopefully you guys can fix it.
Messed up beyond all recognition, as some say. Yeah, exactly. But this is the product of 100 years of disobeying God and shaking a fist in the face of Almighty God. The existentialism of the day in which, you know, we're going to spend our great-grandfather's inheritance and then we're going to spend our great-great-grandchildren into debt. That's pretty much this generation. It's doing everything it can to destroy everything for our great-grandchildren while completely consuming all of the capital left for us by previous generations. The inflation rate now at 30%, labor force participation rate, the worst it's been in 50 years. The U.S. trade deficit is now running $71 billion for February this year, compared to an average of $45 billion between 2008 and 2020. Between 1980 and 2008, the U.S. trade deficit was at $15 billion per year or per month. Now, friends, at $71 billion per month, up from $45 billion last year, up from $15 billion back in the 1990s and 2000s. So now we're at, what, 4 to 5 times the deficit we were at way back in the 2000s. So now $71 billion, these are record trade deficits, which means Americans are consuming foreign goods. They aren't producing anything or exporting anything to speak of now. The productivity of the nation is in the toilet, but Americans are still consuming everything like it's going out of style. This is not going to last long.
No, it's not. It's all going to come tumbling down eventually. The question then becomes, what do we do about that? How do we protect ourselves? How do we hedge ourselves against the coming crisis that is looming? Right, it seems like at our doorstep.
Well, what matters more than anything else is faith and character. We trust in God, not money. We nurture faith, we nurture character, hard work, we get out of debt, we don't live beyond our means, you know, all of the basic stuff, but ultimately trusting in God, and we don't trust in governments, and we don't redistribute wealth, and don't participate in the redistribution of wealth. Fox Business just this morning, Steve, investors are pouring money right now into the areas of the stock market that would benefit most from Biden's $2.25 trillion infrastructure package. If you haven't heard about it, it's the next $2 trillion. You know, we just did three, then we did, you know, $1 trillion behind that, $3 trillion behind that. So what are we at? Like, I don't know, $12 trillion or something. We're just cranking money through the Federal Reserve, quantitative easing like it's going out of style, up to $10 trillion now, just throwing everything at everything, hoping that somehow something will happen. Well, they're redistributing all of this wealth. And so American investors are saying, hey, all these guys getting the bennies from President Biden, let's invest in that. So all of the lemmings are running over to invest in these particular areas of the economy. Materials saw $78 million of inflow. Industrials had $19 million of inflows, while the benchmark S&P saw more than $400 million of outflows. An additional $174 billion would go towards promoting electrical vehicles and charging stations. And so, of course, all the electric vehicle stocks are going sky high, $80 billion to public transit, another $80 billion for railroads, et cetera, replacing lead pipes, expanding broadband access, modernizing schools, et cetera, et cetera. So, of course, you know, these are the areas in which people are trying to gain some profit because the government is favoring certain industries over other industries. And the Bible says profit by robbery never gets ahead. So just be aware of this. Everybody is involved in this redistribution of the wealth, grabbing for money fest. And they're grabbing as much as they can possibly get at this point. It's a no holds barred money fest in which there is nothing to stop it at this point. But the Word of God actually has something to say about this. Put no trust in extortion. This is Psalm 62. Put no trust in extortion. Set no vain hopes on robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart on them. The robbery that comes by inflation, by quantitative easing, the robbery that comes by funding pet projects, by increasing taxes on everybody else to pay for it. This is all going to go up in smoke in 9 months or maybe 2 years max. People have the idea, oh, this is really going to save us for the next generation or two. No, no, no. This thing all goes away. Just like that. Deceitful people get focused on the wrong things. This is the destruction of the character of the nation. It's deceitful people that are exaggerating certain aspects of the picture while minimizing other important aspects of the picture. Jeremiah 9:6 reminds us, you live in the midst of deception. This sounds exactly like us. You live in the midst of deception. In their deceit, they refuse to acknowledge me, declares the Lord. That is, these economists refuse to fear God. They refuse to acknowledge God. They refuse to acknowledge his law. That is unjust weights and measures used for the value of money, manipulated by the quantitative easing, is something that God finds utterly abominable. Now, there it is. They refuse to acknowledge God. The plans of the righteous are just, but the advice of the wicked is deceitful. Proverbs 14:8, the wisdom of the prudent is to give thought to their ways, but the folly of fools is deception. And so what you get through all these economic reports is deception. A lot of deception. Well, let me end with this. I want to get back to John Maynard Keynes, who was the homosexual pedophile who created this entire system that is bringing the entire world economy down right now. And you need to know something of his life. We tell the story of his life, an epoch, the rise and fall of the West. And I draw from epoch, the rise and fall of the West. I think it's important for us to know what's going on. We should not be hiding our heads in the sand, my friend. Don't be an ostrich hiding your heads in the sand while everybody's saying, rah, rah, this whole thing's going to turn out well. No, we're not doing anything at all that could produce a good effect. We're not obeying God. We're not coming back to his principles. We need to be teaching our children the book of Proverbs, first and foremost. We absolutely need to be teaching the book of Proverbs to our children. If our children will have an opportunity to somehow reconstruct their civilization or bring back something of an economy in the years to come. Steve, you asked me, what should we do? Disciple your kids, teach them the word of God, but specifically, if you want them to have a decent economy in the years to come, if you want to raise them with godly character, teach them the book of Proverbs. That's critical. That's why we did our family Bible study guides on the book of Proverbs. We have three family Bible study guides in the book of Proverbs. This is our very core of the core of the core of the Generations curriculum. It's called the Proverbs Bible Study Guides, available at generations.org. But here from Epoch, the Rise and Fall of the West, I talk a little bit about the effects of John Maynard Keynes' ideas to bring about all of what you're seeing today. According to Keynes' theory, governments would increase deficit spending by artificially lowering interest rates, thereby stimulating investment and consumption. This was supposed to produce higher employment rates and more productivity. But Keynes wrongly assumed that consumerism offers the best motivation to work, and employment the best stimulant for the economy. He looked to governments to kickstart stagnating economies using debt spending. However, the idolatry of consumerism only fed a spirit of selfishness and further moral decay, appealing to the lowest inclinations and motives of the human heart. Keynes' theory, fast-tracked and mass-produced across the globe today, would destroy the character of a people and remove whatever common grace was still operable. As money flowed into consumption by consumers who were living for the moment, and now we see these huge trade deficits, less money was available for reinvesting into tooling and development. Savings and investment were discouraged. Debt and consumer-driven lifestyles were encouraged. Such was the worldview of a perverse economist who laid the groundwork for a worldwide economic conflagration a century later. Yet Keynes failed at another point. Economies are fundamentally built upon the character of the people, not the motive to spend and consume. If the overall character of the people in a corporation or nation slumps, which is what's been encouraged by our governments at every single level, this homosexual economist lacked the character to realize that the artificial capitalization of bureaucracies and corporations with more debt and increased consumer spending could not compensate for the lapse in the national character. No nation could survive the idolatry of mass consumerism, especially with unlimited access to debt spending and conception control. The self-centered lifestyle of the modern existentialist was further enabled by the breakdown of marriage and the family and the rise of homosexuality and pornography. Living for oneself seldom meant investing for the future. Little concern was paid towards productivity of labor or future returns. Devoted to living for the moment, the existentialist gives little thought to the long-term effects of his actions and fails to recognize the idolatry of his consumer-driven lifestyle. Such a morally corrupt worldview will inevitably lead to the destruction of a society. With the breakdown of morals and the altruistic life, eventually the people must lose the will to carry on their civilization. When the character of a nation fails, the quality of products and services diminishes, supply drops off, and prices increase. Even foods mass-produced under such a system lose nutritional value. Products won't last as long as they used to. Debt money produces less and less for both the employer and the consumer. With the diminishing concern for future generations and the decline of character, there is far less motivation to pay back the debt, and the economy will require increasing levels of debt to stay afloat. That's what we're going through right now. The weakening of an economy comes in direct proportion to the weakening of the character of a nation. But even more fundamentally, the weakening of an economy comes about by divine providence and act of God. Economies break down when millions lose the motivation to work, or when there are mass illnesses, wars, agricultural droughts, and blights. All of these secondary causes are entirely under God's control. The secular economists, academics, politicians who do not fear God cannot solve these socioeconomic conundrums by scientific solutions and centralized controls. They can perhaps, according to the providence of God, delay a mega depression for 30 to 40 years. But in such cases, these economists are only tools in God's hand to put off the inevitable and bring an even more severe lesson to bear upon the nations later. And that's what we're going through right now. The failure of Keynes' economic stimulus schemes become increasingly obvious with each successive recession. Each economic downturn from 2008 to 2020 is met with lowered interest rates to court more debt, combined with outrageously generous government debt spending. As would be expected, the stimulus produces less and less effect with each iteration. The months required to recover employment numbers to the original peak following each recession always increased as the last of the big dominoes toppled and the world economy jacked up on the Keynesian economic theory collapsed. The blame would fall on a homosexual pedophile, the grandson of the pastor from Bedford, and the words of the prophet from Galilee, by their fruits ye shall know them. And the point I make in the book is that he was another apostate raised by Christian parents, and his mother was raised in the home by a pastor who took over John Bunyan's pastorate in Bedford, England. And that, my friends, is the real story behind the breakdown of the entire Western world. It came by the apostates who abandoned the faith. They were raised in the Christian faith, abandoned the faith, and then went on to destroy the socioeconomy and the civilization of the entire Western world. That's the story of Apostate, the Men Who Destroyed the Christian West. That was my first book. And then my new book, now available at our website, Epoch, the Rise and Fall of the West. And you can get it at generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson and Steve Vaughn, and we invite you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.